Intervju Radija Študent.
Chewing on the heart of some Lucifer, on and on, ran to nowhere. But there's a day out there in time that's stacked up and ready to play. Somewhere on side A, he'll call. What are you saying to me? You're so quiet, I cannot see. The silence that you serve is the loudest thing I've heard. On an on-ramp to nowhere, or a landing strip for souls. Wherever you are, you still reside in me. Hi, my name is God. I play hide and seek with myself.
Scout Niblet je avtorica, ki zelo pretanjeno izliva svojo dušo v note, hkrati se odpira in zapira, se hkrati razdaja in koketira. Njeni komadi so neposredni in vznemirljivi, a hkrati odločni in prodorni. Kakor se rada ranljivo nastavlja, hkrati tudi posmehljivo provocira. Vse to dela zelo koherentno, polno avtorsko, tako z besedili kot z glasbo, ki jo napiše ob njih. Njeno izraznost je seveda težko splošno označiti, čeprav je zaščitni znakov kot način petja, tako v načinu petja kot v načinu igranja ne manjka. V nekaterih trenutkih je tiha, umirjena, čuteča, v drugih pa glasna, razdražena in hrumeča. Ker nas zelo zanima, kako ji vse to uspeva, kaj ob vsem skupaj občuti in kam se ji zdi, da je vse skupaj pelje, jo bomo to kar vprašali. Intervju bo potekal v angleščini. I welcome now in the studio of Radio Student Scout Niblet, the English girl from America. Hi, Scout.
Hi.
How long is it now since you've moved from England to America?
About 7-8 years.
And you live constantly in America or do you come back in England?
No, I just live there.
But do you still feel the English roots?
Sure, yeah.
Can you please explain about how, when and why did you become so fascinated with America?
Well, I guess some of it was to do with the music I was listening to when I was a teenager. And then when I went to college, at the end of the first year of college, I went to, I did this student program where you went to America for 3 months. And so I was like 21 and...
You instantly fell in love with America.
Yes, basically.
Am I guessing right that you're a bit more excited about America's countryside than the big cities like New York or Los Angeles?
Yeah, I don't care for the cities, actually.
Why is that?
Well, the geography of the countryside is just so huge and very kind of gigantic looking. You know, it's like very different. I mean, all the cities in a way look very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And even they're not that pretty, really.
Have you ever been affected by the idea of America as the promised land? Would you know about how does that idea of the land of open opportunities affect the artist in an environment like England?
Yeah, I don't. I totally kind of fell for that whole thing, the American dream and the land of opportunities. Definitely, I feel that very much.
Would it be more difficult for you to break through in music like you did if you were to stick exclusively to the English soil?
Yes.
What kind of a difference is it in music? I don't know, not even industry, but...
Well, I think one of the things is that the music, because of the scale of the country, is very small. And because of the nature of the music industry, there's not a lot of underground bands that are celebrated in England. Most of the bands that are successful, i.e. being able to live off doing music, are bands that sell a lot of records. So that automatically, if you're staying in England, means that you either cannot make a living if you're going to be an underground band, or if you want to make a living, you have to kind of be you have to compromise and be something you, like for me, something I'm not, which I wouldn't do.
How about the media?
I really kind of despise the media in England.
Because they actually create some kind of a hype, yes, about the band, and then they leave it.
Yes.
Like it's not worth it.
Yes.
But in America, it's different.
Actually, I think it was different for a long time. And the funny thing is that I think now that magazines are kind of taking a back seat because of the internet, the next thing that's happening, which is an American company, is Pitchfork, which in my opinion is just as bad as the English weekly or monthly music magazine. It's the same thing happening there.
Let's talk about your music for a while. It is really not hard to find a certain kind of a structural pattern in your songs that actually combines quiet, subtle tones with more or less sudden transitions to an energetic, sort of a hard-rocking, grungy guitar passages. How do you connect the lyrical content to this pattern? Is there any connection, content-wise?
I think that it's all kind of a very intuitive process when you're writing songs. So if the dynamics of the music change, it's really just like an energy shift for me. So if I'm going to be singing over like the louder parts or the more aggressive parts, then that becomes just more charged.
Is it intentional? I mean, do you plan when you are writing a song? Mm-hmm. I guess you don't sit down and write a song, but you have some kind of an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're writing it, is it probably you're going from an inspiration and to say this is going to be a loudest part, or do you just go by feelings?
It's more by feelings. But I've noticed that I am naturally attracted to kind of creating, like I naturally am attracted to dynamics, I think.
Well, I was just noticing that sometimes it seems like you are all wide open, like sentient, vulnerable, with the whispering and the quiet guitar picks. But at the same time, a close listener can sense some pretty strong courage and a determination, very sort of like a grounded step along your expression. This is very unique in the way other authors are approaching the music, I think. And not just with the expression, also with the lyrical content, as I understand it. How do you feel about that connection in your expression between the quiet parts and strong courage ones?
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely hear a lot of my songs have a very kind of bold, courageous atmosphere, including the lyrics. I don't really kind of think about what I'm writing, honestly. I don't think, oh, today I'm going to write a really gung-ho song about being strong. It just comes out. But I think, you know, it's a lot of my lyrics are really about myself talking to myself. So I really feel that most of my songs are me kind of being like a parent to myself and being nurturing. And part of that for me is being strong, I think. Kind of like reminding myself that I am strong.
One could also, I think I can also sense one, if a listener can also sense a lot of sort of like irony in your messages. It's not just those witty photos that you find on the internet. I mean, with your blonde wigs, happy bike rides, and I don't know, vampire teeth, and or even on the new record, smiles with a torch in your hand. I think, but there's also a lot of irony in your lyrics, I suppose. What is actually irony to you? How do you use it? Is it?
I don't know, honestly. I don't, again, I don't think about it. Could you kind of give me an example of a lyric that you thought was ironic? Because I honestly don't think I do anything ironic. The only thing I feel like I do is I kind of have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
But I don't, I don't kind of, I don't know. I don't think I'm ironic. There's a difference, I think.
Yeah, it probably is. Let me ask you a couple of questions about astrology, which you love so much. There are many different ways of how one can correspond to astrology. How would you describe your position, your convictions, if there are convictions involved even?
Well, I've been studying it for a long time, and I feel that astrology is an experiential subject. It's something, it's basically a study of vibrations and energy. And it's something that you can, you don't have to believe in. You can just experience it for yourself to see it working.
Do you feel that astrology is also connected to your music in any way?
Yes. I mean, I feel that I use a huge amount of imagery in my lyrics from astrological archetypes.
We know about one of your records called Kidnapped by Neptune. That's almost all of the astrology, right? I mean, it depends on it, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, what happens with me is that, for example, I'm very conscious all the time of what planets are affecting me. And I'm very conscious of what you call the outer planets, which move very slowly. So for like a 3-year period, when I was writing Kidnapped by Neptune, the planet Neptune was really strongly influencing my chart. And so that's why I wrote a lot of the lyrics are very Neptunian. And, you know, it everything is really affecting the records. So it comes out in the lyrics and in the way that they, the sound of the records too.
Okay, I'd like to ask you a pretty worn out question you probably get in every interview. It's about Steve Albini.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that almost every dedicated listener of Radio Student respects Steve Albini, not only as a producer or an audio engineer, as he likes it better, but also as a musician and as a passionate songwriter. We know about your common passion for drums, but does he also influence your songwriting in any way? Could you maybe tell us what is the methodology of his approach?
Sure. his approach really is to, as an engineer, is to record a musician or a band basically exactly how they sound in a room without doing anything else. And that, to me, in this day and age, is pretty unheard of. And it's all on tape, too. So you it's basically like recording a band at a live show with no overdubs. And so for me, that's a really, really exciting way to record. Because in a sense, it's very limiting, you know. But I actually thrive off of that. I feel like the fact that because it's all live and really you only kind of do it in one or two takes because then you've lost the momentum of the song. There's something very special about that because when you're getting ready for a recording, you literally have to be on it. You have to be very tight as a band or a performer. And you know, it's kind of like a really exciting feeling because you know you've got to be ready and it's got to be kind of perfect and on it. Now, you don't get that if you're working on a computer at home in your basement.
You get too many takes.
You don't. The excitement is just not there.
Mm-hmm. Your latest record, The Calcination of Scout Niblet, was released at the beginning of this year. But until now, you probably already have some new material you work on to publish on your next record. Can you tell us a little bit about your new songs, if they're already there?
There's not many there because I've been on tour most of the year, so I've not had any chance to write much. But I do have a little few riffs on the guitar. Yeah.
Have you been thinking about any new approaches, maybe?
Actually, yeah, I am writing a classical piece for a full full orchestra, but that obviously won't be anything I would be able to tour on.
But it's
not going to be like on a normal album. It will be its own thing.
And it probably doesn't involve drums, right?
There'll be timpani drums on it.
Will you play them?
No, I'm going to get like professional musicians.
Because
who can read music?
You can play drums really well. Can you maybe already tell us of the expected release date of that classical album?
Oh, no, it's not finished.
But you're doing already this project.
I'm writing it.
You're writing it. How are you touring at the moment, solo or with the band?
Me and a drummer.
Can you please tell us something about him?
Yeah, he's called Dan Wilson. And he's an amazing, amazing drummer. He's never played drums in a band before, except for this with me this year. But his first instrument is the electric guitar. So, I don't know, there's something very interesting about getting a guitar player and saying, here, play drums. It's kind of exciting.
You would know that, right?
Yeah.
Have you already decided what will you play at tonight's concert?
No, I haven't. I have to kind of rethink my set list because it will be solo.
Yeah. Do you allow yourself to adjust the playlist regarding the venue you play at? I understand that there can be some technical limitations that you have to adjust, as is tonight in the small room. But I was wondering more about the content-wise adjustments, meaning, for example, could you play a song No One's Wrong Tonight, where you actually are being very loud and almost screaming and being in a small room like tonight?
I would like to do that. Yeah.
You would have no problem with that?
No, I wouldn't have a problem.
Thinking about all the different venues you played at and regarding to the parts of those intimate, quiet arrangements you play at the concert, have you ever been very violently interrupted by a member of the audience during the quiet parts? Does that happen a lot to you?
No. The nearest that it comes to is if there's like a disco party after the gig. And so there's people coming to the show that don't even want to see us. They're just waiting to dance. And they're quickly getting drunk. So they're the people that talk really loud. But I mean,
and it can be disturbing, right?
Well, it's just a bit distracting. But I mean, it's fine.
What music are you mostly influenced with? Music from other artists?
That's really difficult to say.
Do you follow the new releases of the bands you like or have liked in the past?
Yeah, yeah, I do. Like, for example, I'm a huge Barney Prince Billy fan, so yeah. I always buy his new album, whatever it is.
What are your sources? How do you get to listen to the new music?
I usually kind of read things online, or for example, because I'm on, like with the record label I'm on, I get a newsletter every month and mm-hmm. see what's coming out. Yeah, it's usually online now, which is strange. And there's like a radio station in Portland that I listen to called KBOO. They play like music and I kind of listen to that.
Scout Niblet, I wish you a pleasant stay in Ljubljana. A good experience with the Slovenian audience tonight on the concert. Wishing, of course, that you can come again in the future to present your music to a little bit wider audience. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Dragi poslušalci, to je bila Scout Niblet, glasbenica iz Oregona, ki čez nekaj ur nastopi v Ljubljani. V naslednjih trenutkih pa bomo na Radio Študent posneli tudi nekaj ekskluzivnih komadov v našem studiu, ki jih boste gotovo lahko slišali še kdaj na našem programu. Do takrat pa ostanite prizemljeni. Intervju sem pripravil Matjaž Volker.
Poslušali ste intervju s Scout Niblet, ki je nastal danes popoldan v studiu Radija Študent. Z njo se je pogovarjal, kot ste lahko slišali, Matjaž Volkar. Gospodična bo nocoj nastopila v Trubarjevi hiši literature, za Radio Študent pa je v studiu ekskluzivno posnela tri pesmi. Udar vam ponujamo naslovno skladbo iz njenega zadnjega albuma The Calcination of Scout Niblet, posneto v živo danes v studiu Radija Študent. Thank you.
Intervju Radia Študent.